Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. It's me. You know that already, I hope, if you're new to the show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We try to give it to you straight. We ask you to understand a little bit more. Today's show about sleep. Why don't you get a good night's sleep? Now, if you can get to the website, straighttalk.cc, that's two T's, not .com.cc, take a look at the pictures. Pictures tell the story. This show uses pictures because we got a lot to talk about in 60 minutes. First and foremost, drastic measures for sleep, absolutely necessary. Why? Well, we've convinced America that you can take supplements. And I'm not knocking supplements. Don't want to go there. One of my favorite themes, but I think supplements for sleep are a little bit overstated. Worse than that, drugs. Drugs you pay for. Ultimately, the long-term effect of using pharmaceuticals, Ambien, the SSRIs, anything along those lines to get you to sleep, no matter what they say. Like all drugs, if you really study pharmacology, drugs have real bad, well, it costs. You give to get, and the human body is a great example of that. So you never really get away with it when you do something like Xanax or Ambien. It's not the sleep we're looking for. Now, you've tried the supplements. This isn't going to be a show, of course, on supplements and why. It's easy. Just Google up supplements for sleep. Go out and try them. I am going to remind you later today, later in the show, that I think one of the options for you that I think we overlook for whatever reason, it's kind of fallen out of vogue, are the amino acids. I mentioned them about a month ago in regard to the anti-anxiety options. Tryptophan, GABA, taurine, glutamine, phenylalanine. And I still see those work to some extent. But really, in a nutshell, all the supplements work to some extent. They take the edge off. They get you a better sleep, maybe. But this isn't what the show is about. This is about the power of sleep. Now, I didn't entitle it The Power of Sleep, but go to the newsstands. The cover of Time magazine, this cover of Scientific American for the October issue, I have it right here. The power of sleep. Meaning what? Meaning everybody knows this. Time magazine, Newsweek, so on and so forth. But let me ask you a question. Why, when you go to my favorite place for healthcare, Kaiser Permanente, each year or twice a year for that physical exam, doesn't your doctor investigate your sleep patterns? And few too many holistic practitioners really investigate your sleep patterns. Even if we talk about the importance of it, what we don't do, that you don't want to hear, is when the symptom you're trying to abate, resolve, mitigate, get rid of, doesn't actually work under therapy. In other words, you've got back pain. You've got hot flashes. You don't have energy. You've got cancer. You're trying to nurse heart disease, prevent heart disease. You feel a little bit depressed. You have more anxiety. Your memory's shrinking. It's not sharp like it used to be. The thousands of symptoms that we could talk about today end up in a doctor's office. A holistic doctor's office, or an allopath. And after a month or two of therapy, the patient turns to the doctor and says, how come I'm still not sleeping? And the doctor says, well, let me think about that and go to it. But what you don't hear, what you don't get, what doesn't happen is a therapy that makes you understand that you will rate limit your healing to the improvement in your sleep. And that really, like pH, like opening the bile systems, the biliary systems, like the infinite number of things I've put on 226 shows now to effectively determine whether you're getting your effect as you heal, sleep has to be at least in the top three. And of course, immediately we want to know, what do you want to do about that sleep then? How do we make that sleep happen? And the problem is, we've got the reverse logic here. The sleep does not improve to therapies. In other words, you don't go out and do something for your sleep. Sleep is a reflection of the cumulative effect of the healing as the healing progresses. Now, you got to take a look at that, because you have to play all your cards in a healing and measure it by the improvement in your sleep. So when your body hits the point after 10, 20, 30 years of chronic symptomology where it can't sleep, 100 systems have gone out of balance. For instance, the biliary system. Now, we don't normally think about bile and sleep. Certainly not in classic scientific areas do we think that. And yet, when you go to sleep at night and your liver finds itself dealing with too high a concentration of the day's metabolites in the blood, the liver heats up. And that heat in the liver irritates the brain. And once the brain is irritated, you don't sleep. If that gallbladder is congested, you don't sleep. If the meal you ate at night is too toxic for the body, the liver works too hard. If you've had too much anger all day, the liver works too hard. So the liver, the 1,600 known physiological functions of the liver, impact sleep in inestimable ways. We're going to talk about all these things that impact sleep in inestimable ways. And if you really get the science behind all that, you'll understand why people who seek supplementation from pharmaceutical to holistic don't get the job done. It takes the edge off. Now, the reciprocal effect of not getting sleep, of course, is catastrophic in healing. Because when you sleep, you repair. You repair on levels that we still are trying to understand. Thus, the show. Thus, the articles out there. Millions of dollars still going into what is occurring when we sleep. All right. Telluric currents. I mentioned these on the show a few weeks ago. Telluric currents. The Earth and its center is spinning at 10,000 miles an hour. There's something called an inner core. That inner core of the Earth is composed of two layers. The outer core of the inner core and the inner core of the inner core. Just to make things complicated, right? That outer core of the inner core is liquid. That liquid is spinning at about 10,000 miles an hour. When metal spins at 10,000 miles an hour, it generates a magnetic field. And when that magnetic field is generated, it comes to the surface of the Earth. And when it comes to the surface of the Earth, it has to go up inside your brain, or not. Now, the Earth is generally doing its job, meaning it's been spinning from the beginning of time. But is it getting into your head? And it won't get into your head if you're inside what we call a Faraday cage. Joseph Faraday was a scientist way back. Messed around with electrons. Somehow his name is attached to this steel grid that we find ourselves surrounded in. This steel grid is the apartment you're living in right now. This steel grid is what most homes today and most of the last 40 or 50 years are made of. And as long as you're in a steel grid, you cannot get the telluric currents into your brain. Now, they resonate in the way we evolved. In addition to which, there's another wave. And that wave is called the Schumann wave. And that Schumann wave, now, that's not the center of the Earth. That's way up in the sky. And that Schumann wave has to get into your head also. And it can't through a Faraday cage. So bedtime is supposed to be a confluence of the telluric currents and the Schumann waves. And there you are, locked up in your Faraday cage. Now, right there, we can forget sleep. Or we can forget outstanding sleep. On all levels, at the best of it, you're going to get a reduced sleep to the point where we may not even know what sleep is anymore. There's levels of sleep. Just because you sleep 6 or 7 straight hours doesn't mean you're sleeping. Yeah. Have to point that out. Because if you watch people heal, they'll go from getting up 5, 6, 7 times a night to sleeping deep, deep beyond deep. And that's when you see magical things happen. So we talk about disease and we talk about the limitations to disease. In other words, you've got this disease, you've got this symptom, and generally we manage it. We can't heal it because studies show that it really is not reversible. But you see, the data pool that we're drawing from never knew what a good night's sleep was. If you have a house with a backyard, think about a tent. Now, I realize that this is way ahead of the curve here because you're not going to think about a tent. But I have people in Laguna buying homes, renting homes. I have people in Ojai doing the same. I just had a client of mine rent a wonderful little garden house out there in the Mount Shasta area. And she's looking to buy in that area. I have people all over the world doing this. So I know if you're serious enough, it can be done. And why would you do it if you weren't absolutely desperate? And that's why we don't, because we're not sick enough. But you see, we're going to get sick eventually, if not now. And we're going to ask ourselves why and what could I have done. And I'll be on this for the rest of my life, no doubt, telling you it's these things that sit right at the tip of our nose. They sit right in the tip of our nose that effectively determine the difference between the healing and the failure to heal. And this is the thing. Sleep demands sometimes drastic measures. And that's a drastic measure, I admit. But really, if you're going to rent an apartment, if you're going to rent a house, if you're going to buy a house, if you've got the means to go on vacation or to basically pick up and change your lifestyle, you're not going to think about this because it's nonsense. Now, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. I just got a message from my tech. If you're on the website right now and you can't see the pictures, make sure you refresh the computer. Right? Most of you know that. Some of you may not. I just got two notes from two different techs that you may have to refresh the computer or maybe turn it off and turn it on again to get to the website to see the show. If that's relevant, I'm glad I said it. Now, if you're on the website, we're going to get into the pictures now. Picture number one, The Power of Sleep. There it is. Here's the book, the comprehensive book that you want to take a look at. Lights Out, Sleep, Sugar, and Survival, Ben Formby. He's got a couple of PhDs. Look at that. Lose weight, curb carbs, eradicate depression, bring down blood pressure, reverse diabetes. I know you get this. Even if you don't know the details, you know sleep's critical. You're convinced five straight are enough. That's not the truth. Five straight is like getting a C or a D in class. It's the bare minimum. Formby's books overwhelmingly support that. So do all the studies. No one talks about 5 hours straight are okay. 5 hours straight is one step shy of disaster. That's the way you ought to think of it. Don't twist that into 5 hours. You got it. Sleep's not a factor. That is nonsense. But you already know, if you don't know, you still know sleep is big. Again, the pace of the show is a little slower because I really want you to meditate on the concept. We're not doing picture number four. Look at picture number four, the sleep-wake cycle. Virtually everyone on the planet, until the development of artificial light, slept in sync with the daily variation in light exposure. I, for one, do not use light. I don't. My offices have lots of light. I don't ever keep the lights on at night. I'm going to go to candlelight eventually. These nonsense bulbs now. Electric light is a disaster. Honestly, it ought to be the light of day, a little candle, and bed by 8 or 9 o'clock. Because that, of course, sets up the circadian rhythm. When you're not sleeping, your circadian rhythm is gone way out of balance. Look at this. Go to picture 17. So concepts. Sleep, deep sleep for repair, for vitality, for longevity. You have to think more fundamental about this. I know many of you have lovely homes with big, beautiful backyards. Why don't you put a yurt up? Buy a little yurt, an organic tent, and go in there and sleep. Right, this is nonsense. We don't do it. It's absurd. Hysterectomies are absurd. Cholecystectomies are absurd. Cutting out gallbladders prematurely is absurd. People at 60 that look like they're 90 on 10 drugs is absurd. Going to the bathroom once a week is absurd. Trying to digest the garbage we eat at Ralph's, Vons, Lucky's, Albertsons is absurd. Okay, I don't want to get negative. But don't think pitching a tent is absurd. Don't be a sheep. Circadian rhythm, picture 17. A 24 biological rhythm controlled by a pacemaker in the brain that sends messages. That pacemaker is about the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the pineal gland, largely, that sends messages to other systems in the body. Circadian rhythm influences various regulatory functions, including the sleep-wake cycle, body temperature regulation, patterns of activity, such as eating and drinking, and hormonal and neurotransmitter secretion. Mary C. Townsend. Ladies, how many times have you run into a doctor's office talking about your ranging hormones? I think it's hormonal. How many times have you gone out with a mandate? from your doctor. Straighten out your sleep.
Yeah, but I came to you for hormones.
Yeah, I know. Straighten out your sleep. Well, there it is. This is hard science. No one can argue this. No one. And yet it hasn't worked its way into the functional mechanism of medicine. Oh, those MDs. No, I'm not talking about MDs. I'm talking about our holistic practitioners, more or as much as our MDs. In other words, don't waste your money on supplements for sleep. How's that? Oh, you can't say that. That's politically incorrect. It's better to light a candle than curse the darkness. So just keep buying those supplements for sleep, even though you're sleeping in a Faraday cage. So you got to take this in. This circadian rhythm, it runs the show. And right now, we're not creating an environment conducive to creating one. When you're really out of sleep, that track, that rhythm is off rhythm. And to put that rhythm back on track is an evolution. Success in life is about understanding concepts, not running around frantically and in fear to solve symptoms. And that's the way we approach sleep, unfortunately. So there's one big step. Okay, just do the experiment. Leave for a week or 2 weeks and go out into the woods and camp. You know, when people do that for a day or two or three, they lose it. They flip out because they haven't had quiet. When was the last night you looked at a night sky? Lots of people haven't known a night sky since the last earthquake. That's crazy. Now that's absurd. But that's the truth. We don't even see a sky. So why are we spending so much money on health when we don't evolve our health toward the circadian rhythm? The physical exam you should get at Kaiser is in relationship to your compliance with your own circadian rhythm. Let's keep going. Let's keep going here. Go to picture number 10. Picture 10. Now there's that telluric ground current. Go to picture 11. Ancient temples and big rocks marked mind-harmonizing telepathic waves linked to the Earth's geomagnetic field and Dinab in the Swan constellation. That's a star in a constellation of stars, stating that these megaliths, okay, what megalith? Those of you out there who are Irish, Scottish, English, Welsh, Scandinavian, understand that the roots, and everybody, it doesn't matter, African, Chinese, Indian, it doesn't matter. But look at picture 21. Look at that. That's a dolmen. D-O-L-M-E-N. It's a rock formation put up. Someone built that. That's not a natural rock formation. Someone built that a long time ago. How did they get that rock up there? That's not a clay model. How did they even do that? Let's not get into that one. Why they did it? Well, look at picture number 22. The Earth Grid, Secret Patterns and Sacred Sites, Hugh Newman's book. Great book. That's where the ancients put their time. Now look at picture 23. This is Becker. Medical doctor, PhD, twice nominated for the Nobel Prize, smart guy, highly credentialed. Cross currents, the perils of electro pollution. He's the same guy that put out Body Electric. Now look at picture 27. That's a Faraday cage. That's a cartoon of a little man in a Faraday cage. That's what you're in at night when you sleep.
Aren't pictures worth a thousand words? Look at that. That Faraday cage is what Becker is trying to say to you. You're living in it. On top of which, in that Faraday cage, you're generating harmful magnetic fields that we measure in Gauss. Go to picture 26. There's your Gauss meter. That's an expensive one. The $300 one that I have, that you should have, is picture 25. That's F.W. Bell. $300. Get it. Turn it on. Make sure it says zero. And where you put your head at night, please don't have it anything more than zero. That's gonna bother some people. But if it's up there, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and you're inside a Faraday cage already, that's 2 for 2. You can't get the Earth's grid. You can't get the Schumann waves and the telluric currents. They don't go into your brain. So right there, the game is down. You cannot have a circadian rhythm. Doesn't it make you want to rip off your clothes and go out into the woods and put the day's problems on the bed of the earth? Doesn't it do that? You got to rent a house, buy a house, make sure it's on wood. Make sure you're on a raised wood foundation. That house will resonate. Not a concrete bed. The concrete foundation kills the telluric current. So if you're concrete on the floor and wood on top, you'll get the Schumann wave, but you won't get the telluric current. In medicines far older than ours, in medicines far older and more effective than ours, who saw healings, who saw miracles from the ancient Essenes to the scribes of the Old Testament to the Vedic scriptures to Taoists to ancient American Indians, cultures all over the world in plush, perfect ecosystems hundreds of years ago understood what real healings were. Again, this is very counterintuitive. How could those cavemen of 2000, 3000 BC understand anything? We didn't have schools erected to scientific scrutiny. And that's the thing. We're being terribly, terribly ignorant. We're paying the price for our ignorance. So what Newman is saying, and others are saying, is that we used to respect this stuff. And when, of course, medicine looks to the ancients, they say, well, for all that they knew, look at them. Ignorant pagans killing each other over meat and cheese and land, hordes of abuse, and they died young. The average age, they say, was 20 or 30. See, this is another nonsense statistic. What man had not yet evolved was an understanding of how to keep babies that would otherwise die at birth alive. And what they didn't understand is how to keep the mother alive. So between cesareans and drugs that could keep a weak child alive, what we did was grossly slant reality because we had to include infant mortality and maternal mortality in the statistics. And when that changed by the 30s and 40s and 50s, ages skyrocketed. Now we lived a lot longer. And that's the reality of that. We're living longer because more of us live at birth. And mothers don't die at birth, right? When was the last time you heard the mother died at birth? That was commonplace back then. Common. Very common a mother would die at birth. So we've slanted the statistics into thinking that the ancient people did not understand health. This is nonsense. So, what you're going to do is, number one, get a Gauss meter. What you're going to do, number two, is ask yourself, how Faraday entrapped are you? What are you living in? if you're living in one of these modern day megaliths, these steel chambers, you got to think about that. These track homes that they put up, you got to think about that. Better yet, if you really train your body, if you clean it and purify it, you can't walk into these things. Haven't you done that? Have you ever walked outside and then gone into the dwelling? And noticed, once you're in your dwelling, you feel like you're being encased in something that you just have to get out of. I just have to get out of it. Don't rent that home. Don't buy that home. Cultures like the Vikings, like the Celts, like whoever put up Stonehenge, like the American Indians, were all over this. And this is what drives the circadian rhythm. This is what drives sleep. But go out and buy your GABA and your taurine and your phenylalanine and your tryptophan and your glutamine and your melatonin and your Sisyphus and your valerian root and your kava kava and your magnesium and all these things. Well, I did all these things. Why do you think I talk this way? Because I don't want you to know what God's plants are about? Because I don't want you to use nutritional supplements? Of course not. But what I've watched for 25 years is absurd in a way. The thousands and thousands, you know, these things add up. When you don't have the perspectives I'm trying to give you on the radio today, you have to add it up over the days, weeks, months, and years. So no, this is not a down with nutritional supplements show at all. You don't ever know what an herb is worth unless you know how to use it appropriately. Think about that. If you're using a hammer to unscrew a screw instead of to hit a nail, how are you ever going to exalt the hammer? Hammers don't work to unscrew screws. And if that's what you're doing, sooner or later, you're going to look at that hammer and say, you know what, hammer, you're useless. And that's my point. Eventually, people will say the herb is useless. And this is why we have such disparity in our wonderful country. We're not even using the plants correctly because we're trying to hit them with symptoms that reflect infinitely more complex situations in the body. The use of supplements to improve sleep is probably, at least in my experience, probably your worst use of the herb. People, think about it. You're out there. Yeah, it kind of helps. Helps a bit. But those of you who are dealing with those, I'm up 3 or 4 times a night, I can't sleep, my sleep pattern's been off for years, this, that, the other thing, you got to hit it hard. You've got to mobilize yourself back to your circadian rhythm. Which means you've got to get healthy. Forget the sleep, get healthy. Don't tell your doctor, hey, what are you going to do for my sleep? One of the great absurdities in the medical model is, tell me your top 10 concerns. And you tell your doctor your top 10 concerns. And your doctor says, well, we're going to do this for that, and that for this, and this for that, and that for this. That should be a dead paradigm. That paradigm should be hung by its feet at the market square. Because it's ridiculous. When you're talking about something like sleep, you're talking about the interconnectedness of so many system failures in the body that you're finally off your circadian rhythm. Now, you can put in an order of priority how those factors relate to you. Maybe you're the queen of gallbladder flushes, and you don't eat late at night. And what you do eat, you digest, and it's out of your stomach. And you have a little bit of a carb before you go to bed just to boost your serotonin level. And you try your GABA and your melatonin and your this and that. And you sleep with earplugs. And the room is pitch black at night. And everything's perfect, except the milligauss in the room is up at 6. And you're sleeping in a Faraday cage. You see? So what your sleep is about is a profile. What is your sleep profile? How about sympathetic dominance? How about somebody that forgot to relax? Look at this. Look at page 28, picture 28. You know, I know someone's out there listening to the show. If you're new, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc, not .com. It's with two T's. I know someone's out there going, yeah, sleep, but what did he say? I don't know what to do. Believe me, I know that's what some people would say. And that always knocks me off my feet, but I'm used to it after 5 years of the show. What I'm asking you to do is understand what I'm talking about. So you have to listen to the show sometimes, two or three times. I think I make complicated things pretty simple. But if you've got no clue any further than I'm going to go out and buy a bottle of melatonin, then you have to listen to the show more than once. And if you're speeding on the freeway listening to the radio, well, keep listening, but get to the archives and listen to the show again. Look at this picture. Look at this picture. Picture 42. Picture 28, excuse me. Picture 28. Now, you've seen this picture before. You're sick of this picture. Person on the left, that's you when you were married. Picture on the right, that's you at 50, 60, 70. Once your head goes that forward, you don't sleep. Well, that's it. The vagus nerve, that which delivers relaxation energy to your body, the vagus nerve, takes you out of your glutamate sympathetic dominant spin cycle. Once that head goes forward like that and fixates, you lose your sleep pattern. That's big. So, is your gallbladder congested? Do you eat late at night? Do you live in a Faraday cage? In that Faraday cage, if you took a Gauss meter to it, would the numbers be up at 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 15 or 20? Do you have a stressed out, negative emotion life? And all of that put together, and then anterior head carriage. Now you're understanding how to approach sleep. See, that's a synthetic hypothetical sleep profile. That person from eating late at night, having a congested gallbladder, a lot of anterior head carriage, compressing the nerve that puts you to sleep at night, the vagus nerve, living in a Faraday cage with high Gauss in addition to that, and we're going to go out and buy a bottle of melatonin to sleep, or magnesium, or both, and then wonder why we're not sleeping. You got it. Don't do that. Listen to this show 10 times if you have to, and create your own sleep profile, and then figure out where you can start most drastically, relative to what you think you might need most drastically. Sleep apnea, that's the new thing. Sleep apnea, and then go put that cage on your face. The thing that makes you look like Darth Vader. That's smart. That's a good solution. That's what we've come up with. The best medical minds in the world are telling you to go to sleep with a catcher's mask on your face. Sexy, too. Think about that. What are we doing? How can we do that? That's what the best medical minds have done. And do you know the billions that have been generated on the sleep apnea thing? Here's your sleep apnea. Look at picture 28, the guy on the right. Right, anterior head carriage. Now look at picture 29. That's a sagittal cut of a person's oropharynx. The air goes in through the nose, or for some of you, the mouth. By the way, if you're a mouth breather, you're going to be sympathetic dominant. That air can't hit the cribriform plate of the ethmoid sinus, and it can't create a prompting for the parasympathetic nerves to take over and to shut off the sympathetics. So right there, if you can't get air through your nose, you got a whole other kind of problem. I bring that up because we're looking at this now. Now, however it's getting down, as that air drops down, it's going to hit the oropharynx. You see where it says soft palate? You're looking at picture number 29. In the upper right-hand corner, soft palate. That thing there that's hanging, it's called the epiglottis. It's not numbered epiglottis, but that little flap. You see where it says vertical? Picture 29 on the picture where it says in a gray arrow, vertical. What's just at the top of that? It looks like a little peninsula. That's your epiglottis. When you have anterior head carriage, look at that picture 29 and just picture that person's not anterior. Picture that neck looking like picture 28, the old guy there on the right. So go to picture 29, go to that epiglottis, that space above it, which is not labeled. Want to make sure you get this. Let's not smooth over this. Let's really get it. Picture 29, look at that arrow that says vertical. Go to the top, put your cursor on V. See that little flab of tissue there? You got it. It's the peninsula. Looks like a little pinky. It's called the epiglottis. Now just go above that into that little cave space there. You got it. That space gets crushed when you have anterior head carriage. It gets crushed. Once that's crushed, you cannot get air through the nose and down the throat. That is why you snore. Snoring is that little flap of tissue just fluttering as air gets stuck and knows it's got to get down past that thing but can't because you've got anterior head carriage. And if you don't have anterior head carriage, there are other reasons that space will get deformed, all of which, if you learned how to manipulate a la Pilates, yoga, Qigong, Tai Chi, Kung Fu, the Alexander technique, if you learn how to manipulate that area, isolate it so you can stretch it out, you wouldn't have sleep apnea. The number one cause of sleep apnea is being overweight and being inflexible in the scalenes. And all the muscles underneath the chin, there's lots of them in the oropharynx. It's not rocket science. It really isn't. But we're not getting that one out there. Chiropractic adjustments are not going to change the position of your spine. Acupuncture treatments are not going to change it. Certainly Kaiser Permanente is not. Yoga could if it was taught correctly, but we are neophytes in terms of what we're teaching people along the lines of what yoga is. But there have been people that really understood how to change an alignment. Wait a minute, I thought this was on sleep. Where are we going here? Yes, you don't sleep, you have anterior head carriage, you have apnea. If you don't have apnea, if they haven't measured it in a test tube and said you have apnea, even if they haven't, you're disrupting your sleep if you don't have fluidity, coherence, pliability through the oropharynx. That's the concept. Not to mention all the other things. If you have anterior head carriage, you're going to be sympathetic dominant. There's no two ways about it. You can't relax once that head tilts on its axis. Who knew that? The chiropractors. Who knew that? The osteopaths. We have 100-year traditions given to that position up there. Oh, yeah. I see my chiropractor. Yeah, I get those neck adjustments. No, you're missing it. I humbly submit you're missing the point if you think that crack in the neck is straightening this out. If you've been in, fortunate enough to have been in any type of a therapy that's taken your anterior head carriage back into the position it did when you were in your 20s, tell me who that person is that did that and show me pictures. Because I want to know who did that for you. Because that guy gets a cigar. Whoever helped you do that knows what he's doing. Rolf did that regularly. Ida Rolf. Heller did that regularly. Pilates did that regularly. Anyone worth their salt in yoga does that regularly. So these things are practiced, they're understood, but they're not commonplace. If you go down to your local yoga place at Yoga Works and ask the 20-year-old that's taken 4 courses in yoga in her illustrious career what this is all about, she'll say she knows, but she's never had any experience doing it to herself or anyone else. Those of you in excess of 30 who listen to this show, most of what is in the yoga room is under 30. So what are we giving people? The experience of what you would experience if you're under 30. And those lingering into the 40s that are teaching yoga are few and far between if they ever learned it anyway. So I want to give you the concept and you go work with it. You go take your anterior head carriage and straighten it out. Figure it out. If you've got an issue figuring it out, I give you one suggestion. Call my office. How self-serving is that? Well, there's got to be something wrong when somebody says that they know how to do something right and they're asking you to participate. That sounds like advertising. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Or don't call that number. In fact, please don't. Go everywhere else first and get exhausted and then call the number. Do your own homework. Spend the $15,000 or $20,000 over 2 years, then come in. Then you comply. Okay. I don't want to sound like that. I know. So here's the point. That head, when it goes forward, will crush the vagus nerve. That head, when it goes forward, will destroy the air through the nose. And right there, you're going to hurt your sleep. If you're sitting inside a Faraday cage, it's going to hurt your sleep. If there's Gauss in that room, it's going to hurt your sleep. If your partner's snoring, it's going to hurt your sleep. Get the partner out of the room, or you go out of the room, or put the earplugs in. Or tell your partner to go get something to make them stop snoring. The cat that you love because you live alone. You got to get all cuddly. Get cuddly, not at night. Do not have the cat sitting on your head while you're in a semi-sleep state all night instead of a deep sleep simply because it's cute to have a cat on your head. A cat that's sitting on your head at night must love you. Here's an interesting thing about cats. This is a mind blower. A cat sits on a TV. A cat sits on a computer. A cat lives off harmful vibrations. Yes. Not a dog, a cat. The farmers say, build a barn where your dog lies. Dogs are like people. Cats are like non-people. Cats are aliens. Now, I'm not saying this so you could go hate your cat. I am saying what that cat thrives on, as evidenced by the fact it will sleep on a computer. There's something about that. Cats and flies, they like computers. Yeah, it's out there. Go study it. Observe your cat. Dogs don't lie on computers. Cats do. They're made different. If they're sitting on your head at night, be careful. Cats disrupt sleep patterns. Yeah, I wanted to move my foot to kind of stretch it out so I could open my groin while I sleep, but I might knock Kitty off the bed. You may have a relationship where your animal owns you. And of course, animals work out better for us than people. You see? We've got a nation of animal lovers. Don't kill the animals, kill the people. So in reality then, your relationship with your animal has to accommodate your sleep pattern. Dogs, cats should be in the barn. okay, too much. At least in the kitchen. At least you get your own sleep. At least not on the bed. And at least if you've got a big bed, not in a way that cramps up your sleep. Okay, you got it. The evening meal. Make sure your blood sugar is dropping a little before you go to bed. Low blood sugar brings fatigue. But if you're burning fat, now you got to catch this one. Clinical pearls. Lots of clinical pearls for you doctors that listen. If the blood sugar drops before you sleep, good. That'll put you to sleep. If the blood sugar is dropping throughout the day so that in the evening, the last drop in the blood sugar is creating ketosis, in other words, you're going to sleep fat burning, the body's got to work hard at night to process the ketones at all. And that can interfere with your sleep. So sleep at night and blood sugar, there's a balance between the two. Drop it to sleep. If you drop it too much, you may agitate your body. That's where that little piece of bread, that chocolate chip cookie, that little piece of carb, that little piece of chocolate carb can work very nicely. It'll make serotonin. That's right. Do you know what makes GABA? You know what GABA is made by? GABA aminobutyric acid? GABA is made from sugar. That's right. The thing that creates that wonderful relaxing feeling of satiety that relaxes your gut when you eat something that tastes good. Production of it, the receptor sites for it, both in the brain and gut in reciprocity, the enteric nervous system. Did a show on that. That reciprocity between the two, GABA driven, GABA's made, yes, you're going to start talking about how it's made from, what is it, tryptophan, right? Glutamine, excuse me. GABA's made from glutamine. Great. So take glutamine, take GABA, take it all. You know what it's really made by? Sugar. So when you go into a deprivation state, because say you're burning fat, or because you don't want to eat sugar because you're healthy, because you're paleo and you're carb-free, these sorts of things, you can start to go into the evening GABA deficient because your body's it's asking for some glucose. Fascinating, isn't it? You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Wrong. There's a beautiful balance to the body in any given moment based upon your sensitivity to it. That is your competitive edge in life. If you're sensitive to your body, you escape dogma. Dogma kills. Dogma is what destroys the world. Dogma. Religious dogma, political dogma, medical dogma. The antidote to dogma is listening to your body, which some say is listening to your soul. The soul speaks to you through the body, not your head. The soul speaks to you through your body, not your head. Oh, I always listen to my emotions. Good luck, lady. Good luck if you're letting your emotional fabric run the show. I hope you meant intuitive. You see? But when you say, intuitively speaking, I knew this choice was right because I felt it in my gut. You hear what you said? You felt it in your gut. You're not going to feel your gut if you haven't trained your body to feel your gut. So the solution for dogma is to develop a relationship with body. And then you learn the balance so that you can extract essence from dogma. Dogma is there so you can extract essence, but dogma satisfies the uncertain fears common to human nature. There's only one way to do this. It's my way. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I'm a vegan. I'm a vegetarian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Jew. And this is the way we work. Because then we can relax. But that doesn't create relaxation. You are a composite of many different things. And as you age, you have to know yourself. And that's a journey in the body of you. Now, that's what the protocol of health is about. It's designed to get you in touch. All right, I deviated a little, but not really. I didn't really deviate too much. It's a very central concept here. Okay. I mentioned to you, is your head on straight? That's a show I did a week or two ago. Those to and from, that relationship to the brain and from the brain to the body, that relationship, if you don't have good relationship there because those pathways are cut off, you're not going to sleep. Now, how do you know if it's you? Well, you see, it's dogma to say go to a doctor and have the doctor tell you it's you. That head trauma you received shifted your first cervical vertebra on your second cervical vertebra, thus compressing the outflow of the brainstem down into the organ systems and leaving you in a chronically relentless sympathetic dominant state. No, that's not the perspective. The perspective is pay someone to teach you how to feel the tension in you, which you don't even know you have sometimes, and then get on the other side of it. You have to identify it to let it go. See, this is why people that listen sometimes, your friends who you tell to listen to the show or who you just talk holistically with will say, well, that's not me. I don't have any stress. And you know that's a joke. But that's just it. Now, we can afford ourselves that ignorance until our bodies are screaming at us in the form of brain tumors or chronic insomnia. And that's what a symptom is. It's the body screaming at you because you're not listening to it. And all you know is there's a symptom. So you go to a doctor and the doctor tells you, you have this. And you go, well, I kind of trust that doctor, even though my other doctor disagrees. And I have 20 doctors now, all that say 20 different things. And I don't know what to do because, this is the point, because no one ever taught you to listen to you. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Give us a call so you can learn to listen to you. Because that's how you escape dogma. I will see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.